Seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. And I will read the first three verses. Jeremiah chapter 31, and I will read the first three verses, especially the third verse. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This word has been and is and ever will be one of the greatest promises that the Lord can ever give. But we do need to bear in mind that what we read here and in the Old Testament is how the Lord appeared to his ancient people and dealt with them, as we know, are typical, we believe, of the path of the Church of God throughout all ages. And one reason we may say this is because we read that the Word of God came not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, and even in these prophecies, especially in Isaiah, we have prophecies made concerning the light of the truth coming to the Gentiles. And I believe it is thus that we can say that there are many truths in the Word of God that apply not only to the Jews and to the Lord's ancient people, but to the Church of God throughout all ages. There may be some here who treasure this word that the Lord may have given to them. But not only just the word, but the substance of the word. And the substance of the word is love. Love to God, love to his people, and it is this love that is the central part of the gospel. John, in his epistles, he speaks so much of the love of God. I don't want to say anything wrong, but many years ago we were on holiday in Suffolk, and where we were staying, the lady attended Brook Chapel. I think that was in Norfolk. And she said who the minister was, and I didn't know him, I had never heard him. It was it was Mr. Caudle. Some of you may remember him, but anyway, he preached from this word, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He spoke of the love of God, and how the Lord had been some of his experience. And friends, it was a wonderful day. It was a wonderful day. And, you know, it's a wonderful text, isn't it? It's not the text that one thought we would have. But, you see, it's what the Lord says. And you will want the Lord to speak to you in this path. And the reason why I just felt to read from the 30th chapter, it speaks various things. It speaks of correction and punishment and so on. It speaks that they had been scattered. and many things. And all thy lovers have forgotten thee, that they seek thee not, and so on. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. And then, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few, and I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. See, the background of this was their captivity, dear friends. And so there is a captivity. There is a spiritual captivity. Some of you may feel to be in the spiritual captivity. You are a captive bang. You don't know how to get out. You don't know what to do. And so we have the gospel in these prophecies set forth to the church of God throughout all ages. And he says, at the same time, he's the same God. He doesn't change. At the same time, though you may be in captivity to the law of your members, though you may be fittingly afar off, at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, they should be my people. At the same time, he's the same God. What a mercy that he is the same God, the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. You see, sometimes, dear friends, it's in the wilderness, in the captivity, that Lord's people find grace. Well, it's easy to speak of grace, isn't it? To sing of grace. But this grace was in the wilderness. Now, you may be in a wilderness feelingly in your path spiritually. And you may not feel that grace. But he giveth more grace. Paul, when he had the thorn in the flesh, it was then that he had grace. And this is where grace is given, isn't it? Grace to endure. Grace to endure God's anger or his displeasure. Grace to endure when you're in captivity. You know, dear friends, it hasn't always felt as if. Job, he could not find his God in chapter 23. Yet he could say this, but thou knowest, but he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What does this gold represent? You know, gold is the richest commodity there is. What does this gold represent? It represents God's love, something that is pure, something that is invaluable. It is God's love. He shall bring me forth as gold, gold tried in the furnace, and so on. But the Lord hath appeared of old unto me. And dear friends, you know, if you are in this place this morning or have been in this one, you want the Lord to appear, don't you? This truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. This is where faith is so tried, isn't it? I noticed in reading this chapter in verse 10, in 30th chapter verse 10, that we read this. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Now, when we think of Jacob, the man Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, he shall be in rest to be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. You know, his last days were his best days. He had that rest, didn't he, in the land of Goshen. After all his trouble, after all his journeys, after all his trouble with his family and with him personally and the sorrows that he had. He never thought he would see Joseph again, did he? But he did. You know, on that point we may say, dear friends, you know, you think of your spiritual Joseph, if it could be put that way. You may say, well, I should never see my spiritual Joseph again. But he did. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I'll go and see him before I die. It's all set forth in a spiritual way. I know we must be careful perhaps not to overdo this, but one does feel as we look at that word, and Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Oh, what a path it is, isn't it? When you are disquiet, when you are afraid. Which brings us, of course, to think of all the promises of God, which are bound up in his love. And one of the features of this is the fear not, are the fear nots that are found in God's word. Now, that all proceeds from God's love. And who can measure God's love? For we read here, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It's something that is everlasting. I know, dear friends, that some of you perhaps, and some of us know, and it would be mercy if you know it now, that you are enjoying a measure of God's love. It may be said that perhaps the early awakenings in a sinner's heart produces love to God and love to his people and love to the house of God. And that is a wonderful thing. Love all defects supplies and makes great obstructions small. Oh then, dear friends, how are you this morning? Oh, for God's love. And here it is an everlasting love. Therefore, it is from everlasting to everlasting. As we have the Psalm 90 of Moses, the man of God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And then, you know, in the eternity to come, or in that part of eternity to come, because time is a part of eternity, it is an everlasting love. We cannot begin to realize what it is, but it's a love that will never fade. Oh, friends, naturally speaking, love is a wonderful thing. If it is of God, it will not fade, naturally. Oh, there will be ups and downs, there may be difficulties. But my friends, what is the groundwork, what is the foundation? It is God's love. God's love. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see, and cast the hated idols down that dares to rival thee. Oh, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me. And I'm sure, dear friends, if we are able to look back, although you may not be in the, you might be in the wilderness experimentally, you might feel to be in captivity because they were now coming out of their captivity. And there's no doubt that if you're one of the Lord's, you would be brought out of that captivity. But you see, dear friends, it is still God's love. He still loves his people. Doesn't love what they do. Doesn't love what they think sometimes. And you can know that. You may be ashamed of what we think sometimes and what we do. But it is still God's love. You see, according to what we read here, and of course, why were they in captivity? Because they turned to their idols. They turned to their idols. We know in the Word of God, in Ezekiel, we have these words, from all your idols will I cleanse you, a new heart and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will take away the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. What is a heart of stone? It's loveless, it's cold, isn't it? Who would do it? One of the hymns says, warm air, cold hearts with heavenly heat. Set our souls on fire. Oh, friends, what a wonderful thing God's love is. But, of course, the great concern often is, it must have been when they were in this wilderness, they found grace. Those that survived, they found grace. But how could they speak of God's love? God showed them, no doubt, the reason why they were there in that captivity. And maybe, I'm sure there is a reason, because when we're in captivity, maybe the reason is that we've not fully obeyed the Lord. What may be the reason is that we haven't had the wisdom that we should have. Oh, you can look back over your life perhaps and think, well, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that. But my friend, you cannot undo what you've done. But God's love is still towards his people. Yea, the Lord hath appeared of old. Mind you reading, afar off. Do you feel afar off? The psalmist said, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lord hath appeared of old, afar off, unto me. It's personal, isn't it? Saying, the Lord spoke. You want the Lord to speak? The Lord can appear, you know, suddenly. The Lord can appear suddenly. Unto me, saying, yea, that is yes. Certainly I will be with thee, yes. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. We cannot begin to measure this. We cannot begin to absorb it, can we? It is an everlasting love that God has loved them from all eternity. I think in the book of Dear Mr. Sawyer of Mayfield, there came a time when he looked out of the window and he said, if God loved me, he must have loved me from all eternity. We cannot measure that, can we? Oh, think of God's love. God's care. You think of divine providence. I don't want to go wrong into this, but you know, we're not saved because of our parents were brought up or our grandparents were brought up to go to chapel. We're not saved by that. But It is a mark of God's love. It is divine providence. Maybe where you live, maybe in your past, when you were not exercised about things, but you brought into a path of need in prayer. You cannot say at that time, if I can use the word rightly, you cannot say at that time that you were converted, I use that word rightly, but there was the fear of God within your heart. And that love, that God's, that fear of God in your heart and His love has preserved you from evil things. But He may well show us, or show you, that we are no better by nature than other people. God will show us that we are no better by nature. But God's love is an overruling providence. We used to sing at Sunday school, which wisely marshals every circumstance. Oh, it does, doesn't it? And you see here and there, God's love. And even they were in this captivity, He still loved them. He didn't love what they did. And they were in captivity because they had worshipped idols. Dear friends, as I said just now, you know, we may have our idols. But the Lord will not have us to have these idols. For from all your idols will I cleanse you, and so on. The Lord hath appeared. Oh, for the Lord to appear. You may be in darkness, in the shadow of death. But oh, when the Lord appears, what a difference it makes. You may say, why doesn't the Lord appear? Why doesn't the Lord come? He will come, dear friends, when He thinks best. It is not in our hands. It is in the hand of God. And so I say that it wasn't the word, and so often we had to change what we thought was our text, but there's just something else I want to mention, and that is the Song of Solomon, which speaks of love, doesn't it? Love between two people. But really, it is the love of God to His church and the love of the church to God. And, you know, you might think, oh, how to have such a blessing as this. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, what a wonderful season this is, isn't it? It's like, it's put here as a winter. Now the flowers appear, and the singing of birds is coming, and so on, but, my beloved spake. That's what you want, the Lord. And said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove, is heard in our land. The big tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. We have God's love set before us, in a sense, in the in this world, in creation. The spring time, the singing of birds, the flowers appearing on the earth after the winter. Now this is spiritual, you see. And what a wonderful thing it is. Isn't it something that you long to know? Such a word as this. my beloved spake, and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land, that is the turtle dove. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, come away, oh, to come away from things here below. Come away from those things that hinder. Come away from those besetting sins. And just very briefly here in the 7th chapter, I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field, let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early in the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranate bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. Mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates all manner of pleasant fruit, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. See, this Solomon song was one of the songs Solomon wrote, well, I think over 1,000 songs. But this is the only song that is recorded in God's Word, because it speaks of higher things. It speaks of better things. Oh, my friends, what a mercy if we know God's love. Well, as I said earlier on, dear friends, you know, some of you or some of us knew, did we not, the time when we felt the love of God. I can say this, and I wouldn't speak of myself, but when we lived along up the Dicker, back in the middle 50s, I went out into the garden and looked up, into the starry sky, and I could believe there was a God that I could not believe in Jesus Christ. But there was love. And I think that verse of him did come, on such love, my soul still ponder, love so great, so rich, so free, say, whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to man? So in the early stages, a young believer, shall we say, or a young in the believing, there is that love. And there's a tenderness with that love. We read in the Word of God, and God spake, was it to the man, that he should love the Lord with all his heart, and with all his strength, and with all his soul, and thy neighbour as thyself. And that's a great word, isn't it? To love thy neighbour as thyself. But to love God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul. And surely, dear friends, this is what you want to do. But how can you love the Lord or serve the God in all your strength? You say, I'm not strong. I'm not strong. How can I love God? Well, you know, the apostle spoke of being strong in his weakness. Out of weakness, we read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, out of weakness they were made strong. This is something that the natural mind can never understand. Cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Out of weakness, they are made strong. Might not be strong in body, but oh, to be strong in faith, giving glory to God. You will know, dear friends, that our whole dependence is upon God, on God's love. We read, do we not, word of Jesus himself, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. He loved the world. He loved the world and his creation. We read he saw that it was good. And at the last part of that first chapter, I think, God saw that it was very good. Everything was good, holy, and so on. And their first parents, you see, oh, they were in the love of God. What must it have been to be there in the Garden of Eden? Man fell. And Satan came in, didn't he, and deceived Eve. And then Adam was deceived. And you see, so, and yet God's love, still love. He made a way. He made a way of escape. The Lord can make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Some of you may get into a corner sometimes and you think, well, how can I get out of this corner? And you brought that corner upon yourself, perhaps. How can I get out of that? God's love. He is able to deliver, and his love is still the same. Oh, my friends, if only we could feel in our hearts the love of God. What a difference it would make. Oh, then, how we find this, and I don't want to stay on this too long. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Well, how wonderful it is to know something, dear friends, I say, of the love of God. And you know, God's word, it's not just for history's sake. I'm sure there are some people that may be historians. I'm not saying you are, but and who know the word of God as history. But it's not just for history. It is God's people. God's word. Everything is in the word of God. God's love. Oh, that we could feel that. And to the benefits of it. Because, as I said, and I don't want to burden you with repetition, but you see what we read in the 30th chapter, as I said earlier on. And here was God's love. They were beginning to return to God. Return to their homeland. You may feel this word of him, return, O holy God, return, sweet messenger of rest, I hate the sins that made thee mourn, and drove thee from my breast. You want the Lord to return to him. Of course we know, dear friends, that he will come again in his second coming. Many years ago, some of you older ones will remember Miss Madge Stevens, and she lived in the little red cottage up the road latterly. And I went to see her, and she said she believed that the Lord will come again, because we read in the last chapter of Zechariah that his feet would stand upon the Mount of Olives. And while I'm on that subject, I might just say this, quite remarkable really, that she said to me, when Mr. Sawyer was preaching, and he used to come here once a year, some of you may remember this, that he spoke, she was so low. She felt so low, she felt I could just crawl along the aisle. And he said in his sermon, he said, perhaps you've come feeling as though you could just get down on the aisle. And in the dinner time, she went up to the top of the graveyard, and she said, oh, bless the Lord my soul, and so on. And Mr. Sawyer said in the afternoon in his sermon, he said, perhaps there's been one here that has gone up to the up the graveyard and said, oh, bless the Lord my soul. You see, friends, that's wonderful, isn't it? That's the kindling of God's kindling one with another. That's the union between the pulpit and the pew and so on. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to feel that, isn't it? God's love. Well, we want to feel it, don't we? Oh, we do. But it is an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn thee. And so we have, do we not again, in the Song of Solomon, draw me, we will run after thee. We can do nothing unless the Lord draws us. God's people begin to learn, and they had to learn many things in their captivity. God's people have to learn that they can do nothing without the Lord. Lord, to come and put in your soul this word, draw me, and we will run after thee. You cannot do it in yourself. Thinking of that word, really, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. How can you trust in the Lord with all your heart when you're in a trouble? That's the thing. It's got to be given, friends. This is the things we have to learn. We can do nothing without God. What I mean, you know, nothing spiritually without God. We have to learn these lessons. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Well, we have to prove, don't we, friends, those things. But when we think of it underneath, you know, underneath it all, well, we have the foundation truths, don't we, in the Word of God, we do. And, of course, these are the foundation truths. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the 13th chapter, I think it is that well-known chapter about love, charity and so on, and he concludes that there were the best three gifts, love, faith, hope, and charity, which is love. Dear friends, you know, you'll come to this. Well, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. You need faith. And they cannot do it without faith. And who can give us faith? Only God, by his Spirit. Only God can give us faith. Yes, there is a natural faith, but this is a God-given faith. You cannot trust in the Lord just with a natural faith. You need to trust in the Lord with a God-given faith. So Paul concludes that wonderful chapter. And these gifts, these three, faith, hope, and love. Dear friends, may we find that. Oh, may we find that in our part, in our religion, in our soul. There are three gifts that come from God. That God gives. And you, some of you are going to need this and do need this. You need faith to believe that he is able to do more abundantly than you can ask or even think. You need hope. And who can give us hope? You need the Lord to give you that word, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And then charity, love. This is what we need. Oh, the foundation truths, dear friends. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Do you love Jesus Christ? The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee in everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Of course, as you go through this chapter, dear friends, you will see how the Lord was bringing his people through. We read of Ephraim and his rebellion and so on, and yet we find God's love. And very briefly, we have this also that we have here. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no man, no more, every man his neighbour, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, that's God's love. Amen.